Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. And if you are an animal lover, as I am, and I know so many of you are, you're going to thoroughly enjoy the lady that I have as a guest today. Her name is Loretta Scott Miller. We're going to be talking about her heart-moving book called Blind Puppy, $5. Loretta, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, Loretta, I am a soft touch when it comes to animals. I'll be perfectly honest about that. And having adopted a couple of Scottish terriers, my husband and I are avid Scottie admirers and have been for a number of years. When we adopted it from the rescue group, it really meant a lot to us. And you yourself have been involved with rescuing animals. And you grew up in the South San Francisco Bay Area, and you have been involved with an aerospace company. You've done computer programming, all kinds of stuff involved with them. And you had this wonderful, wonderful animal come into your life because you became associated with the Northern California Golden Retriever Rescue Group. Please tell us about how you learned about them. And I know there are rescue groups of all kinds, and I just so admire these people. They do such a wonderful job. But tell us how you found out about this rescue group.
I found out about the rescue by finding a lost golden retriever, oddly enough. I hadn't really known that much about them before that, but we found an old golden retriever up where we kept our boat. We had a boat up in the Delta, and he had been on his own for at least a couple of weeks from the look at him. He was dirty and starving and dying of thirst and all that.
Oh,
so
my.
We took him took him down to our boat, and I called that county's Humane Society to see if anyone had reported a lost dog. And they referred me to Golden Rescue, and that was the first time that I'd heard of him. So when we had him for about 2 years, he must have been 12 or 13 when we found him. And when he died, I was so bereft at losing my beautiful old golden that I decided to call up rescue and see if I could volunteer just to be around some golden retrievers.
Now, your first retriever was named Boomer.
That's right. That was Boomer.
And tell us a little bit about Boomer, because he was quite a dog.
He was. As I said, we found him when he was quite old. He was all white-faced. He was completely deaf, which I found out later, but he was the sweetest, most loving dog. I mean, like I say, he was starving to death when we found him, but I sat down on the dock with him in my lap, and he wanted loving more than he wanted food. He was just so loving and so sweet, and he never left my side, and I just fell in love with the whole breed at that point. I thought, you know, this is the greatest kind of dog I've ever seen in my life.
You bring out in your book the point of, with Boomer, how he had already, it's Cooper. I'm confusing Cooper with Boomer. But Boomer was so special to you, and he's like so many animals. People just dump them. And I think that this is something we need to talk about for a minute, because any time you bring an animal into your life, that is a big responsibility.
That's right.
And I feel it is a commitment that you take seriously. They are just not throwaways. I just am appalled at what I find out.
I am too, and it's unfortunate that a very large number of the dogs we get through rescue are older dogs, and it's for the reason that people just, they don't want to bother with them when they get old and they become a little of a problem and it starts to get expensive to take care of them and their medical bills and so forth, and so they just dump them. Now, you know, it's better to dump him with a rescue organization than to dump him out on the street somewhere like whoever it was had Boomer had done. But I find it unconscionable.
Right, and that's a very good point. So for people who are listening, if you're in a situation, sometimes there is a mature individual, they become ill, they can no longer take care of their dog.
Exactly.
There are these wonderful, wonderful groups, and they will come and will take the animal and will find a home for them,
That
will care for them. And we were fortunate with our Scotties that we adopted. They had not been abused, but they were not, you know, one of them especially was not wanted. Another one had belonged to a couple, and the wife died, and the husband was going through tremendous grief, and he had other dogs.
Yeah.
So he wanted a home. So we feel very fortunate. And another benefit of the rescue group is that the cost is very reasonable. I mean, many times people are getting purebred dogs through these rescue groups that would cost them $1,000 or more if they were to go out in any other venue to try to get them. And you can get this wonderful animal, even if it's an older dog, and it just wants to be loved, it wants a home, and if you want to do that and you have specific breeds, again, there are these wonderful, wonderful groups. And that's one of the reasons your book meant so much to me, Loretta, because I think the rescue groups of all breeds are just doing such an awesome, awesome job.
They are. They
and,
really are.
It's great to know that they're there so that if someone is not able to take care of an animal, you know you can go to one of these groups and say, look, I can't take care of the animal. For whatever reasons, can you find it a home?
And the animal will be taken care of. We always find homes for them.
Oh, absolutely. And the people that are involved are just incredible.
Now, they are great people.
You went back to the rescue group for retrievers because you fell in love with Boomer. And, of course, when Boomer was gone, then that left a big hole. And, again, I can totally relate to that feeling. Tell us about Cooper.
Well, I'd been working with Rescue for about 9 months, I guess, and of course the volunteers, the ladies I worked with, knew of my situation and that I was kind of pining for, so they were keeping a lookout, and one of them called up one day and said she had found this perfect dog for me, this young one-year-old dog. And he had this little vision problem. Well, I found out that he was blind in his left eye, which turned out to be a birth defect, but he had been originally bought through an ad in the paper that said Blind Puppy $5. That's where the title of the book comes through. And it was by a woman and her daughter, but they lived in a condo, so by the time he got to be about 9 months old, it was obvious they couldn't handle him there. They both worked, so they gave him up to Rescue. And then Rescue found him a nice home with a family with some kids, but again, everybody was gone. Kids were in school, the parents worked, so Cooper was systematically destroying the backyard.
And that's something people don't realize about bigger dogs. It can happen with little dogs, too, but the big dogs, they are active.
They're very active, and especially the young ones, they need a lot of attention, and they need, he'd had no training and no socialization with any other dogs or anything, so he needed some full-time attention, and they just weren't able to give it to him, so they turned him back to Rescue, and so that's when I got him.
So you get this abundantly energetic puppy, for all intents and purposes, because most dogs really aren't going to be too mature until they're 2 years old, and when they're 1 year of age, they are discovering that there's so much, and retrievers are not small dogs, so they can reach a lot of things.
A 75-pound puppy, that's exactly right.
Jeez, and so it's like, where does he go? Anywhere he wants to.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you have them, and they come in, and, oh, it's something you don't forget. I mean, we've dealt with a puppy, and we hadn't had one for a number of years. And, boy, you have to puppy-proof the house. And just when you think you've got it nailed down, they find something you forgot about.
Oh, absolutely.
And he was just absolutely a gorgeous dog.
He was. He was beautiful. But he was also extremely inventive, and he had a really weird sense of humor. And he could find anything. I could not puppy-proof against him. Fortunately, I was home all day because I had just retired the year before, a couple of years before, so I was able to spend a lot of time with him, but it took a lot of time to settle
yes,
him down.
It does. It takes time because they have that period where they get very energetic. Now, here you are. You're dealing with Cooper, and Cooper, even though you're home all the time, you have all of these wonderful memories of Boomer. Your husband's, his name is Todd, I believe.
Yes.
And he takes one look at this puppy and he's going, no, we don't have that. No. And I can remember having done that to myself, saying, no, we don't want this dog. And, of course, he won over your hearts, but he really won your heart 100%.
Oh, he did. The minute I saw him, it's one of those things I say in the book, you know, it's hard because what you're looking for is an exact replica of the dog you lost, and you're never going to find that. But the minute I saw Cooper, I was just gone. You know, I could recognize all of his faults, of course, but he just, he had me the minute I met him.
Now, one of the things that occurred with the family who had these children, Cooper loved these children. And tell us about what it was like when you picked him up.
It was so sad because he had... He'd been thrown away a couple of times, you know, and he thought he'd really found this home. He, when I came to pick him up, he was down on the floor playing with the little boy, rolling on his back and just having the greatest time. And he didn't realize what was happening. You know, he got in my car readily enough because he liked to ride in the car and apparently didn't notice that all his belongings were being loaded into the back of the station wagon. But on the way home, I stopped at a pet shop to get a choke chain collar because the collar he had wasn't very good, and I knew it was going to take a little handling with him. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and I could see from the look on his face, I had never seen such a sad look in my life. It had dawned on him that he had been given away again, and he was just—he looked so sad, it just about broke my heart.
Now, but that's something people do not understand. I've had people say, oh, dogs have very short memories. They don't. They remember things. And
they really
they
do,
have
yeah.
been abandoned, they don't forget. Same thing with just about any animal. I've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, now, you can only hope when they have something bad happen to them that they will forget it eventually when they've been in a good home, but they do have memories.
Yes, they do, and I'll argue that point with anyone. Here you get this wonderful puppy, and for those of you tuning in, we're talking with Loretta Scott Miller about this blind puppy, $5. That's the name of the book. This is a heartwarming story about a golden retriever named Cooper. Now, here you get Cooper home, and he is growing by leaps and bounds. He's already 75 pounds. You find he's a power chewer. And he even made a hole in the wall.
Yes, he did.
How did he manage to do that?
Well, he would sleep by the side of my bed. We have an older house, and we have an air conditioning unit built into the wall on my side of the bed. And he took to sleeping on my side of the bed, and he would kind of stick his nose back in the corner, and I would think he was asleep. Well, it turned out he was starting to lick on the wall underneath the air conditioning unit, and I don't know whether it was because there was salt in the plasterboard or what it was, but by the time I figured out what he was doing, he had a hole about 3 inches long and half an inch to three-quarters of an inch deep into the plasterboard, and I tried to hide it from Todd for as long as I could. Because I knew he was going to be extremely upset, and justifiably so. But Cooper was still sort of on probation. And, of course, like Todd says, once we have him for a day and a half, they're ours. We're not going to give him up. But anyway, he did. He chewed a hole in the wall, and Todd finally discovered it and had to replace it and fix it. But he would chew anything, and that lasted for about 6 months before he finally realized what it was that was okay to chew on and what wasn't okay.
He was a puppy, and not until they reach a certain point that they're growing up, that they learn they're not supposed to do certain things. Now, you ended up partially training him with a cowbell, and I'd never heard of anybody using a cowbell, for heaven's sake. How in the world did you get to that point?
Well, he was, as I say, he'd had no training or any kind of interaction with other dogs, and he was quite terrified of other dogs. I took him to a beginning obedience class, and he didn't do well. He just would get freaky when the other dogs would bark or something. So after that, I started taking him to the park across the street from where we live, and there was a fenced-in baseball field, and I could let him run in there and run on the grass, which he enjoyed. And pretty soon, some other dog owners started joining me with their dogs, all different kinds. One was a Scottie, and all different kinds of dogs. And we kind of ended up with a play group over there in the park that we'd let the dogs play and run in the field. Well, one of Cooper's favorite things to do, and I have no idea whether it had to do with his blind eye or not, but he loved to run circles. He would start turning circles just as fast as he could go, just like a whirling top. And again, you're talking about a 75 or 80 pound dog and getting up some pretty good speed here. And if the owners were standing around talking and not paying any attention, he could come up behind them and hit him in the back of the knees and you fall right down. I mean,
oh, yes.
Flat, just
mm-hmm.
like that. Well, some of the owners were getting up a little elderly, and I was starting to be really afraid somebody was going to get hurt. So I decided I had better put a bell on him so at least they could tell when he was getting close to him. So I found this little cowbell in one of our pet stores here and put it on his collar, and it worked very well. You could always hear Cooper coming when he started doing his circles, and you'd better be warned to get out of the way.
Well, one of the points that you make is in your book. Now, this is with retrievers. Again, I have Scotty, so they make excellent watchdogs. But with retrievers, you said in here, retrievers are the lousiest watchdogs on the planet. They love everybody. They'll let everybody in. If you bring them a T-bone, you're their friend for life.
That's exactly right.
So there's all of these charming things you bring in. And one of it was, and I just laughed, the Beanie Baby. Now, I never knew Beanie Babies could have such a special significance, especially with a golden lab or golden retriever, but by golly, that's the case with Cooper. He just fell in love with a Beanie Baby.
He did. He found it on the way to the park one morning. Apparently, some child had dropped it when they were there the day before, and that became his baby. He carried that in his mouth. And I would keep it in my pocket while we were at the park, and he was playing and running. But when it was time to go home, he wanted that baby, and that was what he did. That he headed for home as soon as he had baby in his mouth. It was a little leopard Beanie Baby. And all the way home, he carried that, and that was his mission, to get that baby home safely. It was like if it was a puppy or something of his. It was the cutest thing.
Well, you have photos of Cooper throughout your book, and this is no small dog, folks. I mean, 75 pounds plus. I mean, wherever he would decide he's going to lay down, that's where he's going to be. But you have some of adorable photographs in here of him, and one of them that I thought was a hoot is in the bathroom where he made that his room. But he really had a zest for life. He would go on your boat, and then you adopted another dog, Big Bear.
We did. Big Bear came along, and as a volunteer, I would get the weekly available dog lists, and I was kind of following Big Bear's story because it's harder to place the older dogs, especially dogs with medical problems. And he had been diagnosed with Addison's disease, which is a failure of the adrenal gland, and it requires a daily medication, which unfortunately was extremely expensive, and so that's why his owner had surrendered him. He didn't figure he wanted to pay the money for it. And Big Bear was also a giant. He was huge, like a human giant. He weighed about 120 pounds.
Yeah, your husband said Big Bear makes Cooper look like a chihuahua.
Right, exactly.
That's pretty hard. I mean, really,
that's pretty
is a big.
Big
dog. My goodness.
But it was fairly obvious we were going to have a real hard time finding him a home, so I mentioned it to Todd, and Todd said, well, you know, they were going to have the one of the events that Rescue does and have several of the available dogs up there, and he said, go on up there, and if nobody takes him, then you bring him home. So that's what I did. So we had Big Bear, who was also a real love, though a very different personality. He and Cooper were kind of yin and yang.
Yes, and Big Bear was very, very outgoing, very vocal, where Cooper wasn't. You know, here you have this wonderful husband, Todd, that tries to be a toughie, but he's as big a softie as anybody could ever be towards dogs.
Oh, he's almost worse than I am, and I'm about as bad as it gets. Yeah, he is a real softie when it comes to dogs.
Now, here you are with this wonderful organization, and you are trying to assist and help out. What would you recommend for people who are really wanting to find an animal and they want to be sure that they have good support? Where do they find the information about the rescue groups?
The rescue groups, you can find it if you use the Internet and computers at all. They have websites. Northern California, all you have to do is Google Golden Rescue, and you'll find rescue organizations all over the country, and ours will be one of them for this area. If you don't use computers, the Humane Societies will usually point you to the various rescue organizations in your area. The Humane Societies are also a good place. You know, the thing is to try and rescue a dog that's already out there, unless you're absolutely bent on buying a puppy. Go give a home to one of them that's already out there, because they'll turn out to be the best dogs you've ever had.
Now, Cooper was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
How did you
find out, and I know he passed away on January 3rd of 2006, how did you discover he had a tumor?
I discovered it because he wasn't his playful self. He suddenly just wasn't acting like he felt all that good. He didn't really want to go to the park, and he was a little lethargic. He was kind of walking around and just not being his normal, happy, laughing self like he'd always been. I took him to the vet about a week later, and they couldn't find anything. They thought maybe he'd pulled a muscle in his back or something, you know, because he wasn't getting around too much. But then they had a specialist vet down here who dealt with brain tumor type things or neurological things, and his eyes were looking a little funny, so they said, well, you know, maybe we should go see them. So I went to see them, and she put him through a really vigorous examination and immediately called UC Davis, the hospital, the big veterinary hospital up there, and got him in the next day for an MRI, and that's how we found out.
Now, dogs and cats, just about every species of animal that there is, can pick up diseases just like we humans do. And I say pick up, they can develop them. Did the vets have any idea why he developed a brain tumor?
No, they couldn't really say. It's unfortunate that one of the health risks with golden retrievers is cancer in various forms. And brain tumors are not uncommon in golden retrievers, so they tend to look for that. If a golden is, you know, acting a little funny, that's the first thing they look for. It's a genetic predisposition, which is unfortunate, but it's there. There isn't a heck of a lot you can do about it. It's not like there was anything that could have been done to prevent it. I don't think it had anything to do with his birth defect with the eye or anything like that. It was just one of those unfortunate genes.
Now, in being involved with the rescue group, how many animals are placed a year? Do you have any idea?
I believe last year we placed about 2,000 or maybe 2,500, something like that.
That is amazing.
We're a very large group. We cover all the way from San Luis Obispo to the northern border and eastern borders of California and over in the Central Valley. So we cover a lot of ground. It's a large organization.
Now, I want my listeners to know, your book title again is Blind Puppy $5. If you love animals, you're going to want to have this in your library. This is a joyous memoir of a rescued golden retriever. Loretta Scott Miller is my guest. Her organization, Shannon Road Press in Los Gatos, California, they are donating 20% of all the proceeds from the sales of this book to the rescue group. And you can go to their website, shannonroadpress.com. And not only is the book discounted, but you can also know that part of good 20% is going to be going towards a wonderful, wonderful service. And if any of you have a particular breed you love, if there's anything that you want to know about, Shannon, I'm sure can answer some questions for you. But go to her website of Shannon Road Press. Now, Shannon, how many books do you have? You said before we went on air that you had some other books. What other materials have you put out?
Yeah, actually, I started a small publishing company last year and doing primarily mysteries. I have, because I write mysteries, and I have one of my books on there as well as the Cooper book. I'm doing occasional nonfiction for good causes. That's where the Cooper book came out. But I've got a book coming up of mystery short stories by new authors. I wanted to help out some new authors, so I'm putting out a book called Little Sisters Volume 1, which is members of Sisters in Crime who haven't been published yet. And I've got a group of really good stories, so that's coming out. I have a first mystery novel under contract that will be coming out next year. I'm hoping the other book will be out this fall, the Little Sisters book. But anyway, it's all there on shannonroadpress.com. You can check it out, as my Cooper book.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
Is Big Bear still with you?
He is not. I'm very sorry to say. We lost him very suddenly in April, almost overnight. Again, from cancer. He had a cancerous tumor on his spleen that we didn't know about, and it ruptured. And we had to take him into the emergency clinic on a early Sunday morning, and he was gone that afternoon. So.
Now, have you added any new golden retrievers to your family?
We're about to. We have a vacation planned for next month. We're going back to see a football game in Oklahoma. And because I don't want to get a dog and then have to leave him right away, we're going to wait until we get back around the middle of September, and then we're going to get another rescue golden.
Another rescue golden. Well, you're a woman that walks the walk, not just talking the talk, but your story about Cooper, Big Bear, Boomer, all of this is in your wonderful book, Blind Puppy, $5. Loretta Scott Miller has been my guest, and her website, where you can find out about her other publications and know that her book, Blind Puppy $5, 20% of the sale goes towards the rescue group. And if you wanted to contact her, you can do so through her website of Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, roadpress.com. Loretta, it's been a delight having you as a guest, and I know that your house is going to be filled with all kinds of mischief and a lot of joy with your next golden.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being on your show. It was a delight.
Well, it has been a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't you go away now. We've got lots of good things to share, and who knows, we even have a recipe or two, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website,
www.delphiinternational.com. Do you have a group or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. Yes, you can call in, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers for you to call in to. For the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, there's a couple of things I want to let you know about, and that is, number one, I am going to be appearing in San Francisco at the Wisdom Festival, which is going to be held at the Fort Mason Center, and that's on Saturday and Sunday, and I will be speaking on Saturday evening, and this is in September. We're talking about September 15th and 16th, and for those of you that live in Northern California, I will also perhaps have some time before I come back to the Pacific Northwest for private appointments. But I'm going to be speaking at the Wisdom Festival on the evening of the 15th, and I'll be speaking at 7 in the evening. And all of this is going to be taking place at the Fort Mason Center. So I want to let those of you know in California that that is going to be happening. And again, that's September 15th and 16th, at Saturday and Sunday in September. Also, coming up is the last weekend of the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Oh, I'm telling you, I am so excited. We were a little bit concerned we might have some rain, but good old Master Sunshine decided he's going to put his beams down on us for that entire weekend. It's the closing weekend, and I know there are thousands of people that are going to be coming out because this is the last weekend before we close everything up, and we'll have to wait a full year. So come on out to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you want to get into costume, we have our friends Greg and Cindy that will be happy to provide costumes for you. You also are going to have an opportunity to have some fabulous entertainment. It is great. I've known people that have come out on both days of the weekend because they couldn't get it all in. And it's been so much fun to interact with the kids, ask them about the knights in shiny armor and the jousting and the big horses and the archery and all kinds of activities that are going on. It's a mesmerizing event that takes you away from the stress and the tedious activities of everyday living, put you into a world of fantasy and magic and a different time zone that you will thoroughly enjoy. Now, I'm there also. All you have to do is go down Main Street, which is to your right, when you enter through the castle gates, and look for the booth that has the gigantic golden yellow banners with the huge red lions. and that's where I'm going to be. And, of course, I'm in costume. And, oh, I just got so excited because I have a brand-new costume. Absolutely gorgeous. And it's just a delight to meet with you. So stop by, say hello. I'll be doing many sessions while I'm there, and also there will be some books. But more than anything else, come on out to the Mentor Creek Ranch for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It's at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. Because the gates open at 10 and will be closing at 6, check online for the wonderful values that they have for you, friends, and family. Come on out. Say hello. It'll be an experience that you will just remember. And bring your camera. You are going to see costumes and characterizations you wouldn't have believed people could possibly put together. It's absolutely magical. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 for Canadians. And also our direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If this is your first time of hearing the Donna Sebo Show, well, if you wanted to call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then let me give you the information I perceive. I don't ask you any questions. And then after I give you my insight, then all you have to do is figure out a question you'd like to ask me, and I'd be glad to answer. You know, we've been talking about dogs, and I thought I would share with you a little bit about cats. Those are seems to be two of the most popular pets, the dogs and the cats. And this is about a cat named Fred. And Fred is the pet of a guy by the name of Rick Hamlin. And he said Fred is just total cat. He does everything on his own terms. And one morning at 3:15, you know, Fred is over bugging him. He wants to be petted. And Rick says, gee whiz, what is it with this cat? You know, when I come home, sometimes he greets me, sometimes he totally ignores me, sometimes he just hangs onto my leg when I'm at the computer, when I put him up on my lap to snuggle, maybe he tolerates it for 30 seconds. Everything has to be on Fred's terms. And that particular morning, Rick said, he was talking to Fred, he said, you know what? You're like some people that I have to deal with every day. You're unpredictable, oversensitive, and defensive, downright difficult. But you know what? Fred just looked at him, rolled over, purred loudly, and what he wanted Rick to do was to give him some scratches on his tummy, and that's exactly what he did. And while he was going through this stuff with his cat, it dawned on him. He was very tolerant with his cat, would put up with Fred's oddball ways because he loved him. And he said his cat taught him a lesson at 3:15 in the morning, and that is he needed to exercise tolerance in his interactions with other people. And you know what? It worked. His cat taught him something about being okay with people and conditions that sometimes seem a little difficult, a little oddball, because that's the way life is sometimes. I just wanted to share that with you. Also, I came across an article by Natalia Krawitz, and this is what she said. She said, recently the prestigious New England Journal of Medicine had an article about a cat named Oscar. Now, this cat is the mascot of a nursing home in Rhode Island. This cat does something very special. Oscar detects within hours when people are going to die, and what he does when he knows this, he goes up into their beds, curls up next to them, and purrs. He's so good at detecting the culmination of the dying process that the staff knows that they've got to contact the next of kin immediately for a final farewell. Isn't that amazing? Animals understand so much And when we pay attention, they often can give us insights. And that's what this staff at this hospital was able to determine. And there's another cat that Natalia talked about, and it was BJ. And BJ would comfort her human, Beth, whenever Beth would go through fibromyalgia. Beth would lie on the couch. She would go into tremendous, tremendous difficulties with pain that was unbearable. And what BJ would do, now this is a cat, BJ would walk up and down the length of Beth's body, searching for the most painful spot. Now when BJ would find the spot that was causing Beth so much pain, she would plop down right over it and then would purr. And as she purred, the vibrational frequency of her purr caused the pain to disappear. Also, there's another cat named Precious, who is an agent of pain management for her owner, Al, as he's dealing with prostate cancer. Because of her, he's now able to manage without pain medications. And they are so successful as a team that they have become a subject of an episode on pain management for a television series, Healing with Animals. Then there's Beauty. She was a black cat who took her owner by surprise by requesting to an animal communicator that she learn Reiki, which many of you know is a gentle form of touch therapy. Now, you have to learn this from someone. You can't really learn it from a book. And Beauty's action was that she assisted her owner to receive Reiki into her lungs because her owner had asthma. And she said her owner, Susan, when her cat would lay on her back right over the lung area, she would feel two flows from her cat's front paws and a large one from her abdominal area where Beauty had tucked her hind feet. Animals are amazing. And I think as more and more research is done, they're going to recognize that the animals have such a high level of sensor capacity, which we've always known. I mean, my goodness, dogs and cats and other creatures can hear things that we cannot possibly hear as humans. They're capable of doing so much. They've been using them to detect cancers in people. They've been using them as support dogs for people that have epileptic seizures or problems where they need to be made aware that maybe they have to lay down. The dogs and cats can do so much. What a wonderful world it is when we can share it with such wonderful creatures and when we can learn from these creatures and they're willing to assist us when we're willing to pay attention. And I think respecting other forms of life is so very, very important. And that's why when I was talking with Loretta and I was saying, I cannot understand people abusing creatures. I really cannot. I have never been able to understand why people abuse each other. And I think when we're consciously aware that there's a lot going on in life, if we just take the time to watch, look, and listen, it can make our lives so much richer. Animals are compassionate, and they know so very, very much more than what we give them credit for. And I'm so glad I have two Scottish Terriers to share my world with. I didn't think we'd be getting any dogs for a while, but believe me, the animals, they know, they sense, they understand, and they just love to love. That's one thing that they are really all about. Give them the opportunity, and they will be there for you big time. And if you're lonely and you feel as if your life is void of affection, always remember, the animals are there, and they can very easily fill it up, but they are a responsibility. And just like kids, you have to take care of them. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-846-5227 or Canadians, 888 815-975-9756. Also 530-876-3222. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and a quick reminder, we're very close to the last weekend here in the state of Washington for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It's the 18th and 19th, this upcoming Saturday and Sunday, and I want to encourage you to come on out for the last weekend. We've got sensational performances, wonderful, wonderful games for children to play, costumes, just a wonderful array of skills. By the way, there is a craftsman that is out there. He's been out there all three weekends. And he hand tools metal, combining it with glass. And this man is so skilled, and he does everything right out there on site so you can see how he works with it. It is just amazing. So pick up your family. Ask your neighbors to join you. Tell your friends. Come on out to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. The hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And you can come to my booth. Say hello. I'd love to meet you. And just look for the booth that has the bright golden banners with the big red lions. And you'll see me in there in costume. But know that there's special passes. There's all kinds of wonderful information on their website that you can get details on how to get to the Mentor Creek Ranch, 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, the various passes, special packages that are available for families and groups. Come out to the website, visit it, WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com, as well as coming on out to the actual event. I'd love to see you there. Don't forget, come by and say hello. And don't forget my appearance at the San Francisco event that is going to be the 15th and 16th of September. And more information will be coming out in my newsletter. I'm going to be at the Fort Mason Center. It's the Wisdom Festival, and we're going to have all kinds of speakers. Also, realize that you are going to have more details in my next newsletter as well. So you'll be able, in the September 1 newsletter, when it comes out, you'll have that information. Negotiation. Oh, don't forget, if you want to call me, you can. Telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. We all, at one time or another, need to negotiate. It can be the negotiating when you're a kid, you know, dealing with friends. It can be done in business. I mean, we're always doing it on one level or another. Now, too often, the attitude towards negotiation is it's either my way, no way. And that's not necessarily the best way to look at it. If you're never going to do business with someone again, or be living with an individual, or be friends with someone, you know, you really need to think about what you would do in a negotiation. It is part of our alliances that we develop in life. And we need to want to have a pleasant relationship with them. Of course, we want to be able to get what we would like or what we need, but we want to make sure that the other person is being treated fairly too. And that has to do with the relationship side of negotiating. And Rhonda Abrams, who is a woman, she has a column, and she said, negotiations are far more likely to succeed when both sides share the same attitude, and that is, let's make it a win-win. You know, if people that are involved in a negotiation, regardless of what type it is, are transaction-oriented, it might get pretty hot and heavy. You know, it's just something that cannot always work out positively, and one person may get very, very angry. If everyone involved understands it's just part of the process and they don't take it personally, that's one thing. But if you're relationship-oriented, you're going to want to reach an amicable and fair agreement. You might have to give up a little bit of something to be able to get what you want. However, the other party will be willing to give up something, too. If not today, maybe tomorrow. So you need to realize that when you're negotiating with someone, you want to take a long view because you want to keep a relationship and you want to keep it healthy. The worst negotiations are when two parties have differing viewpoints. So you want to think about negotiations. Look at how internationally things go on and on and on and on and on because there are the different viewpoints. And there is a lack of understanding, a lack of willingness for communication. So often that's what causes wars to develop. Well, if you really, and when I say wars, it can be in personal relationships as well as global situations between countries. So it's important that as individuals, whatever we're involved with, that we look at negotiation for the purpose of establishing a long-term relationship. And, you know, when you're in business, it is very costly to have to find new customers or new associations, new suppliers, whatever might be involved in your business. And even when it comes to personal relationships, you can alienate people so fast if you don't have that understanding that you want to have as much as possible a win-win for everyone. So it's important when your negotiation is going on, look at the long-term view. What would you like as the ultimate in your relationship? And if you work at it from that perspective, you might be quite amazed at how successful you can be. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or Canadians 888-815-9756. And I want to let you know about my upcoming guest. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking with Wayne Peterson. We're going to be talking with this former diplomat about extraordinary times, extraordinary beings. And this is a fascinating, fascinating story. This is a man who has been in diplomatic circles around the world, and his life has been transformed because of experiences that he's gone through. Next week, we're going to be talking to Liz Kelly about smart manhunting. Yes, gal, you're not going to want to miss this. You're going to want to find out how you can do this. Manhunting sounds so cold, doesn't it? It sounds like someone on a horse with a bow and arrow and saying, okay, this is it. This is the meat for the day. Well, not necessarily. She's going to give us some good insights. And then Rich Dolan, I'm so looking forward to this gentleman, UFOs and National Security State. This man has done research on UFOs, and there's so much material that I've gotten regarding UFOs, and it just totally turns me off because it's so far out in what I call la-la lane. But Rich Nolan, Dolan, he is a gentleman that's done a lot of homework, and he has documentation that I just am absolutely, totally aware of. Stephanie Alexander, we're going to be talking about woman savers and how we can, as women, be more alert and more on target with what is most meaningful about our world and how we want to live in it. And then we're going to talk with Susan Gregg next week, The Idiot's Guide to Short Meditations. I didn't know we had to have one, but we're going to be talking with Susan and how she decided to put this book together. And then Joe Stepaniak, Vegan Vittles. We're going to be talking about nutrition and how, if you want to do something good for your body, well, we're going to be able to share that with you, too. So we've got a dynamic lineup of guests. And speaking of that, my goodness, we are out of time. This is Donna Sebo. It has been so delightful to be with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're in charge of you. And isn't that a great feeling? Personal responsibility is a good thing. Sometimes it can be painful, but it's still good. And enjoy in it, because you don't want to be the prisoner of anybody else in your life at any time, any place, anywhere. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
Stressed. I cut back medication, Prozac and cigarettes. I've seriously considered crawling in your arms tonight. I've seen the shadows that move, all dressed in blue, so I keep turning.